Okay, this is Winfrey, and I'd like to welcome everyone to our BBS simulcast conference call line, where I don't know what's going to happen. And my guest tonight is, I do know this is going to happen, Carla Ruckert is with me, and Carla and I have been friends for, I guess, about 7 years now. We met 7 years ago, and Carla is the person that some of you may know. To some people, she's a legend, but most people never heard of her. But to those that she's a legend to, she had a series of channelings. And of course, channelings is where the common word that no one really knows what it is, but it's the idea that some intelligence thing from some other dimension is talking through you and using you to get some kind of message into the physical world. And Carla channeled a voice which identified itself as Ra. I am Ra. And we're getting people checking into our conference line. We're going to say hello to you in just a moment. She did that for a period of 4 years, I think, and 3 years, and she has 5 books out, and many people...
Hi, Marty here from New York.
Hi, Marty. Is this your first time tonight?
Yes, it is.
Well, very welcome. Where did you hear about us?
I heard about you from Zoe in Sacramento.
Super. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you? Well, I want you to know you're on the air right now. This is our live. This show is simulcast on the internet. So don't say anything you don't want a bunch of strangers to hear.
Okay.
I wish.
Hi, Heise. Heise is my executive producer. He lets me know when I'm breathing into the microphone, when the sound gets too low. So thank you. Hi, you actually make me feel more secure. Can you feel that I feel your energy when you're on the line?
It shines from you, yes.
Yes. You know, at a certain level of sensitivity, we feel each other, even when not in the same space. And in fact, it's a good desired outcome, as long as you like who you're feeling. So, luckily, we have kind of a protect space on this line, and it's really nice to feel everyone. Not only do we feel the people on this line, but I think we feel people that are not on this line. People that are in other dimensions feel our energies that are not in the physical, and that they join us during this call. And some of you might feel that energy. It's kind of like subtle. If you're here for the first time, and notice the spaces in between the words. Sometimes it takes a while to get your own inner radio receiver tuned into the energies, get your mind quieted enough. And who else is on the line that hasn't said hello?
Hello, Leanne Francis from Concord, California.
Hi, Francis. And who
Hi,
else?
Leanne.
Dominic hey, it's London. John.
John McKay, my favorite auto mechanic in Sedona. And I always give John a plug. So those
I'm
of
doing
you,
great, thank you.
Those of you in New York who want to take a trip to Sedona, be sure to take the car to John. Hopefully, if you drove your car, you probably wouldn't need John, because if you had the courage to get across the country, your car's probably in good condition. Anyone else on the line want to say hello?
I'm Dominic from London.
Dominic from London?
Yes, I'm splitting out here in London, yeah.
Dominic, would you send me an email right after this call? Because I want to mention something to you. And, I think of you. I, you know, it's interesting. I get to know certain people by emails that send me emails, and I get certain people by their voice on the line, and I can't figure out who they are, you know,
my
together.
God.
So send me an email, because there's something I want to mention to you. Anyone else on the line?
Hey, Wynn, it's Al, Gainesville, Florida.
Hey, Al, in Florida. And who else?
This is Terry in Los Angeles.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
And we'll let one more person say hello, and then I'm going to mute the lines. And who else is there?
Hi, Wynn. This is Jackie from Massachusetts.
Hi, Jack. What city were you in?
I'm near Springfield, Massachusetts.
That's where I went to high school.
Really?
That's Carla
yeah,
Rucker.
McDuffie. I went to the McDuffie School in Springfield. Yeah.
Oh, I know where that is. Yeah. Oh,
all right.
Gainesville Road.
Here we go. We're having earthly correspondences.
mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to mute everybody, and we're live on BBS Radio now. You know, one of the reasons I do this as a conference call in BBS is because, first of all, we started as a conference call. We didn't start on the radio. Second of all, it's kind of like conference call. Really, here we go.
Michelle from up here. All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Uh-oh.
All callers are muted.
Is that good?
All callers are unmuted.
Mm-hmm. Somebody was from South Carolina, right?
Yes, Michelle.
Michelle? Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
I'm going to mute everybody. We're having no more hellos soon.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
So one of the reasons I just kept this conference call format up is because I wanted to create a feeling of community on this call, where it's not just me saying some new information or having to produce a new show or be interesting to everybody, but to create a space that everyone's energies creates the space. And even though I'm the kind of like the orchestra leader, during this call there's all these energies flowing back and forth. And those of you who are on the line, believe it or not, I'll speak for myself here, and I think it's true for Terry, and it's probably true for Carla, but I don't want to speak for Carla, is that we can feel you, and you can feel us.
Oh, definitely.
We are in... Is that true for you, Carla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
We feel your energies. So as we talk, I can feel you. Now, it doesn't mean everyone... It's like if you just be neutral, you don't have to try, just be neutral, and you'll find that there's energies that just happen during this call, and part of it is a result of the fact that we who are doing the call are really sensitive and can feel you, and we make a little group energy during the call, so it's a community. So the people that are on the BBS, listening on BBS, are also part of this community, and we can feel you, but it's harder to feel people through the internet than it is on a phone line, particularly when people say hello at the beginning. And you're all welcome to check in on our phone line anytime you want. If you are not sure what the number is, you can go to conference.messageaday.net, and I list all the numbers. The only thing about the phone line is I think we can have a maximum of 100 people, and if everyone was on the phone line, I probably would have to figure out how. I might try to check in, and they wouldn't let me in. That was my biggest fear, because we hit our 100th mark, and I couldn't get on and do it. So, in any case, you know, I had a very interesting topic to talk about tonight, and I didn't tell Carla about it, so... Since, you know, one of the prime directives of the sources we work with is free will. And so, even though I think Carla would like enjoy this topic, I wanted to make sure it's okay with her, or if she has something in particular she wants to say, she can mention it. But the topic is, the idea is, and I think Terry could participate in this, all three of us, you know, all of us on this line thus who are the, you know, the Carla Wynn Terry contingency who are talking, have had an experience of communication with this process called channeling. Well, you know what? I better start my tape recorder or else I wish again.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Okay, we're being recorded, and my producer didn't even tell me. Remind me. Okay, this is Monday, and this is February 15th, and this is our BBS conference call. And my guest tonight is Carla Ruckert, and we're discussing the three people on the line. Terry is a regular. This idea of communication, what I call interdimensional communication, where voices speak to you from other realms. And I think that everyone that's first exposed to this has to go through this integration process, deciding, is this real? Are they making that up? Is it positive? Who's talking to me? And even you who are exposed to this for the first time, some of you on this line or that are new to this line, you have to be going through this process, because there's part of an aspect of this idea of communication from other realms that approaches science fiction. It's like, can this be real? So I thought that would be a very interesting topic, and that it would help other people who are being exposed to this kind of communication for the first time, and the process that people, three of us, I don't know about other people that do this, but the three of us have had to go through to decide that it's real, you're not making it up, that it's positive, and that, you know, why would you want to go and share it with other people? What's the benefit of that? Carla, let me ask you, is that an okay topic for you?
That's just fine, Wynn.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to start blathering right away. I thought perhaps I'd let you blather first. I have a profound amount of opinion on the subject, however, so I'm springloaded right ahead.
I know you do. I just thought I'd get my beginnings in, because once you start blabbering, the time will run out. And,
it's a terrible thing. I mean, so Terry needs to blather also.
Yes. Well, you know what? I don't even really... I'm not competing at all. I'm happy when you blabber, you know?
I'm totally aware of that, but I would like to hear more of what you have to say.
Yeah, but I think this is a topic that is a really, really good topic to get recorded and transcribed, because so many people are being introduced to this now. They have no idea how to relate to it, and it sounds like, should I believe this is true? So, for Carla, let me say that Carla's work oftentimes is considered some of the most accurate, scientific, highly intended work, and from knowing Carla for the extent that I have, I would say that she has extremely high dedication to a sense of service. She has helped so many people. She has no ego or, like, look at me, or aren't I great? I'm bringing through this great source. And, you know, once you realize what you're doing, it becomes a huge responsibility, actually. Because if you don't do it, you feel guilty. If you do it, you might get negatively attacked. So these are some of the things that people who do this have to cope with. Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Is that a good topic for you? I asked Carla. I mean, I'm just laying it on everybody, but I just thought it would be a really important topic.
Yeah, okay? That's a good topic.
Yeah. By the way, you know, this show, I usually don't have guests. I mean, Carla is one of the few people that I've had as a regular guest. And most of the time, it's just Terry and I. And we ask questions directly on the line that are very interesting, and we get our source answering them, and it's in the public eye, and you guys can listen. Next week we'll continue that. And I'm honored, very honored, to be have the kind of, how would I say it, loving connection with Carla that we can be so loose and flexible and just be ourselves and talk about these things in front of you all, because I know that you who are listening to this, many of you are going through, can this be real? Who are these guys? What's the advantage to me to listen? Do I have to give a, you know, it's a little bit intimidating when you're first exposed to the idea of communication from other realms. And before I turn it over to Carla, I would like to say, from my own beginnings of the consideration of this, I, in my own channelings and through Carla Records channelings, there are two aspects to these communications that we have, and one aspect is wisdom. Wisdom, you don't need to believe anything. It doesn't matter whether it comes from Wayne Dyer or the Rock Group. It's wisdom is wisdom, and it's something you can apply to your life. And you don't have to decide who the source is. If you can take anything and make your life better and improve some quality of your life, you can maybe assume that you have a good source, but it stands on its own. The other aspect of channeled material, at least since I have experienced it, is cosmology, where you have beings that know tremendous amounts of understanding of how the greater cosmos works, and things which are not available to a human in any way, shape, or form to figure out on their own. So there's where you have to decide, you trust your source, because they're telling you things that you can't validate. So I'm going to turn it over to Carla, and she can share her process or anything she wants about how she came to the conclusion that she could trust the voice that was speaking through her.
Okay, you want that first and then free will, or do you want to talk about free will first?
Well, since we're talking about free will, you can decide, okay?
All right. I don't think I can quite mush them together, so why don't I talk about free will first, and then unless Wynn gently reminds me that it's time to stop talking about that, then I'll talk about how come I believe that what's happening to me is real. First of all, I tend to share the opinion of the Confederation that I channel, rather than sharing my own opinion or sharing the personal path I follow as a mystical Christian, because of the fact that I have become convinced by being very familiar with this group of sources for the last 35 years that they've got it together. They're telling us precisely the way things are. And so
Carla, why don't you say what the Confederation is, so people that are listening that don't know have some idea.
All right. The Confederation of Angels and Planets in the Service of the Infinite Creator is a long name for a group of planetary sources and interplane sources that work together on our Earth at this time from the inner planes, because they believe that we are approaching a critical point. In fact, we're just about there. And they want to help to increase the harvest of those who are able to go on to the next density of love and understanding. We are now in the density of choice. I first became aware of these energies, these sources, these alleged extraterrestrial communicators in 1962 when I was part of an experiment in Louisville, Kentucky,
started by Professor Don Elkins of Speed Scientific School, the engineering school of the University of Louisville, go-karts. He found some information he thought was very interesting. He was a paranormal investigator from about 1955 onwards, and he had investigated UFOs quite a bit, and most especially the close encounter phenomenon. And he talked to a fellow that had a close encounter in Detroit named Walt Rogers. Walt showed him a whole notebook full of stuff that he had gotten from alleged extraterrestrial sources. Don thought this was very interesting, and when he found material in that book that suggested that one could begin an extraterrestrial-type contactee group without having to have a close encounter of the third kind, he thought, this is worth experimenting. So he got his 12 favorite physics students together. I was the girlfriend of one of them, so that made 13 of us, plus Don. And we started meditating together, following the instructions in Walt Rogers' channeling. And by golly, we started a channeling group. It took about 6 months, just about everybody in the group besides me began channeling, and I liked the sources very much. 12 years later, in 1974, almost all of these people had gone on to jobs in other states, some of them even other countries, and there were almost no people to continue the experiment with. And Don asked me if I would attempt to learn channeling. I adored the man, and I said, okay, being fairly reluctant, actually, but Don always thought that was one of the best things about my attitude. I had no desire to do it. I just was doing it for a service, and that's true to this day. It's a lot of work, and you know, it calls on everything that you are in order to be able to do the job. And even then, I don't ever feel like I've done a perfect job. I always wish that I could have done better. So I'm reluctant to this day, but I do it because it's obvious that it's a service to other people. The feedback has been incredible, and I'm still doing it, and I'll keep doing it until I don't get the feedback, and then I'll quit doing that, and I'll finally have the time to catalog the library that we have here at L&L Research. But that hasn't seemed to happen at all. The interest has grown and grown and grown. I started doing the channeling work. I picked it up in about 2 months, and immediately I became very interested in it because it was easy to do, but it's so difficult to do well. And I love to do good work. I want to do excellent work, and I became fascinated and really focused on how to improve this context. So when I say that I think that these people are real, I'm not saying that I've seen them or that I can prove it to you. That's the whole point of free will, you see. Something that has this much importance in your life cannot be proven. So everybody has to gather their own intelligence and create their own opinion and do that completely through your own free will and in your own time.
Clara, I want to ask, interject a question? When this was initially happening, were you getting any kind of phenomena where they would make a prediction in the future and it would happen, or they demonstrated some ability to know something in this realm that they shouldn't have known and they happened to...
Interesting question, Wynn. Interesting question. One of the first things that I learned when I was trying to make my channeling better was that that's not the kind of question that you ask if you want to keep your channel. If you want to keep a spiritually based, metaphysically based channel, you do not say, where's the next earthquake or horrible weather phenomenon going to land? But before I knew that, I did do that once when Don asked, when I was channeling, he said, tell me the places that are going to be hit by disasters in the next 12 months. And I have a block against geography. I don't think I really took to sixth grade, but I could see the sort of the map of the world, and I'd go like here and here and here and here and describe what I was seeing, and Don was able to pinpoint them. He put it away for a year. We got it out at the end of the year, and they were all hits. And this did not excite me in a good way. This made me feel that here was something that I did not want to develop. because it had nothing to do with the development of our minds, our bodies, or our spirits. It was not important information. It was completely transient information. And I became aware very quickly that when you ask a metaphysical type channel that is running on the energies of love and light, love and wisdom and unity, if you ask questions like that, you will quickly detune your channel. And there are negatively oriented entities that use exactly the same light and that are very good at pretending to be positively oriented channels. So then you get those channels, and they'll tell you anything that you want to know. They'll give you all kinds of specific information. But what happens is it's all fear-based, you see. So they're distracting people. They're just very subtly distracting people from their spiritual path. So it's really a choice that we have to make between love and fear. And fear-based questions, specific questions, when I get them, I simply decline to accept them. Or if it's in a group and I have no control over somebody that's come to the group at the public meeting and they ask, you know, who's going to win the next Kentucky Derby, I let the Confederation entity that I'm channeling tell them that that's a very humorous question, but that they will not be able to answer it because of, guess what, free will. And is that a good way to segue into free will, Wynn?
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to say that the effect of doing that, like one of the things that I notice is the key to this is what's the benefit to someone else? And sometimes people even have emailed me and said, why doesn't your source say this and this and this and this and tell us what's going on? And there's two answers to that. One answer is that what's going on our planet, even catastrophes, are directly related to the consciousness. This is my feeling, is the consciousness of the collective and the consciousness of people in a given area. And that things may, if everything was the way it is right now, you may be able to make a certain amount of predictions based on how things are right now. But in the future, anything can happen, especially right now on our planet. There's so many people that are hungry and open and looking and scared, and that they want to find something. And if they find something that just makes predictions, it may make them addicted to you. They may keep coming back and say, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? But that addiction is attention. And attention, getting attached to attention, is an aspect of the negative. You have to do this being detached from the attention you get. Because as soon as you are attached to attention, you lose your own sense of centeredness, and you try to please other people, and that is an opening for a negative source to come in. So that it's not healthy in terms of spiritual evolution to do that. And I know in my own case, they did do it one time very dramatically. And that's when Daphne was first channeling, and I said, is she crazy? And I said, can you guys predict a newspaper headline? And they did. And they said, the weekend of what happened. And that was it. It was 2 weeks later. I guess it was something that was very locked in stone. It was some kind of plan that was already set, and they did it. And I, at that point, knew that she was not crazy and that something real was coming through. But they've never done anything that specific, and nor have I asked for anything that specific. So that's my take on it. Does that make sense to you? That the consciousness of all of us is creating things, and that if you make a prediction, then you actually are, particularly if it's a negative prediction, you're actually affecting consciousness to anticipate that to happen.
Well, I think psychologically, I think we've all seen it happen in our own lives where we're afraid that something's going to happen, and so we focus on it. We just about bring it about because of our attention to it. And if instead we were focusing on the positive outcome the whole time, then we just about, you know, at least we're leaning into helping that come about. I think what we pay attention to creates, shapes our day-to-day reality. You could take the same event and have three different people experience it, and there will be a positive, a negative, and then somewhere else, maybe another type of positive or another. There will be three unique reactions to the same event. And so the law of one would suggest, or those entities that I channel would suggest in that wise, that we focus on those intentions that we wish to bring into manifestation, not the ones that we see in the headlines or the ones that we hear on the buzz, but those things that seem to us to be of truth and beauty and love, and to stay focused and set our intention every single day to be the highest and best carrier of love and light and truth and beauty that we possibly can be. And I start every day dedicating this day to the Lord and saying, you know, please, Lord, come into my life in power and grace. I dedicate this day to you. Use me. And if you have to shake and bake me, if something has to happen differently, please let that be, because I truly want to be a good, sturdy servant of the light. And I don't exactly know what that's shaped like. So please give me a hint, give me an inkling, give me a clue. Help me to be the voice of love today. Help me to be the hands of love. Let me open my arms and hug all of the good things and make people feel better and give people a grin as I go past and just generally be part of the good. So I think it's all in how you intend, and you create your own experience that way. Well, the earth is the same way. Our environment is the same way. We have, as a planet, let's face it, guys, as a tribe, we have been so hostile and so aggressive. We have gone through so many generations of empire, from Babylon and Atlantis and Rome and all of the different Reichs, and now we have the American Reich that all of us who live here in America are hoping and praying that we may end without further incident. And so you can either focus on, you know, what's bleeding and leading in the headlines, or you can focus on being an instrument of love. And if you focus on that, then you are lightening the consciousness of the entire planet. And again, this is totally a function of your free will. This is the density of choice. The choice is love or fear, service to others or service to yourself. So let's talk a little bit about free will, because I think I can ground that a little bit in the cosmology that Wynn was talking about. The Confederation philosophy says that in the beginning there was the Creator, and they call the Creator intelligent infinity. Now, you can't put your mind around that. That's a phrase that's guaranteed to stump you. Nevertheless, that is the unmanifest, sleeping, shall we say, Creator. And the first thing that happens before the universe begins, according to this cosmology, is that the Creator decides, because of the first distortion of the Law of One, which is free will, to know itself. Therefore, the Creator says, okay, I think I'm going to make me a creation, and then I'm going to learn about myself. As I throw out all these splinters, or as Wynn calls them, holograms of creatorness, and they will all gather experiences and seek the things that they desire, and in the process, I'm going to learn more about who I am. So the Creator sends us all out from the heart of itself. And it does this in a certain way because the very nature of the Creator is love, unconditional love. Absolute, utter love. It's a powerful love. It's not a romantic love. It's not a friendship love. It's not agape. It's love. It is the love that creates, the love that destroys. And this love, this logos, is the nature of all that there is. Now, obviously, as we look around, we do not see everything being love. We see a lot of distortions. But no matter what you're looking at, no matter what emotion, no matter what feeling, no matter what it is a distortion of love. So the Logos got together, again with free will, to manifest that which we can see and feel and taste, and that which is in the unseen realms as well. And they did all of this by the use of light. So when the Creator uses love and light, the creation appears with bursting forth from the great central sun of all of the infinite galaxies and all of those galaxies, infinite numbers of suns, and all of those suns, infinite numbers of planets, and then all of the systems that happen on all of those planets. So it's just boom. But it's not one boom and then that's all. In the cosmology of the Confederation entities, that whole creation from Big Bang to the final black hole eating itself and becoming nothing again, becoming the sleeping creator again, that's one heartbeat of the infinite creator. And the octave of densities of experience in one creation is called an octave because just as in a scale when you have la 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 la, you see that's the same note but a different octave. So that next octave, that next note, the last note of one creation becomes the first note of the next. And when the creation, once again, the Creator decides to know itself, it starts with all that has been in the last octave, all that has been known, all that has been absorbed. And again, we, bits of the Creator, get to experience the whole octave of creation and learn more and experience more and choose what we desire more. And all of this is done by free will. Now, when it comes to this density, this being the third density in their cosmology, the first being the elements and wind and fire and earth and water, the second being the plants and animals who are aware but not self-aware. Third density, humans were self-aware. So we have that density called the density of choice, where we decide what to do with our self-awareness. What shall we focus upon? Upon what shall we pin our desires? How shall we set our intentions? And we use free will. Now, we use free will, the primal distortion of the law of one, in connection with the veil which has dropped over third density. See, the rocks, the water, the air, they all know how everything works. They all know that we are one. They're perfectly aware of that without being aware that they know that. They function as one great dance. And if you are ever out in nature long enough to start becoming a part of that dance, you know exactly what I mean. Everything dances with everything. The energies and the rhythms are wonderful. And it's just this wonderful thing that we have within us, that we too can join the dance of creation. And, you know, the plants and the animals will talk to us, the rocks, the crystals, the minerals, they do talk to us. They can be magnetized by our will, which we choose freely. You keep coming back to the law of free will. Now, the Confederation calls the law of free will the law of confusion. They call it that because third density is a density in which we hit the ground running. We don't know where we are. We're completely confused. It seems like a chaos out there. And we start organizing our universe to make sense to us. And at a certain point, we as self-aware beings who are creatures of love, no matter what the culture tells us, no matter what our parents tell us, finally, we get it. We step outside the box, just like Neo, you know, in The Matrix. And we go, okay, that is an illusion. Now, what about me is real? And as you begin investigating what is real, you keep choosing what to look at. What shall I look at? And so you set up a very fragile yet very important process called the spiritual path or the spiritual journey. I like to call it the path of the King's Highway, being a mystical Christian. I love that kind of imagery. But the exciting thing about it is that we and our free will are set upon this path to penetrate illusion and to experience that which is more real, that which is more the essence of us. And we do that eventually by choosing to live by faith. We launch ourselves into the midair of faith. We leap into faith, as Soren Kierkegaard said. And here we are in midair, and we're saying, love is the most important thing in the world, and we're falling, and it's chaos, and wait a minute, we're not falling. We're walking very sturdily in midair on faith. Thing about choosing faith by free will with no, absolutely no proof, is that in 75,000 years of doing this in third density, we can make more changes in our soul stream and bring ourselves more and more into balance and decrease distortion in our lives more and more than we ever could in higher densities, because in higher densities we know the score. There's no veil. And sure, you know, we can pass the test, but it's a take-home test. All we have to do is look up the stuff. In third density, we're thrown back upon faith. Faith alone to experience the difference between the cultural miasma of every man for himself and all of those cultural belief systems that do absolutely nothing to enlarge faith, and the wonderful choice of love. Now, our world religions tell us that there is love, and that if we believe, then we shall be, quote, saved, close quote. But what does that mean? Well, when you start exploring the universe, knowing that you have free will and that you can create the universe that you wish to create, and that your judgment holds, so that what you judge to be loving is loving, what you judge to be imperfect is imperfect, then you start getting the feeling that by free will, perhaps I can create a universe in which people are honored and respected and supported and sustained by my love, and in which all of a sudden, oh my heaven, everybody starts loving you back, and you're dealing for the first time with this amazing dance of love, where love is reflected in love, reflected back and forth, and you are suddenly dancing again. Not just with nature and with minerals and with mountains. You're dancing with all that there is. And we all can feel that. I mean, John Lennon wrote it a long time ago. What is, I am you and you are he and he is me and we are all together. We are all one. So you start acting as if we were all one. Jesus said it so simply. He said, look, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay, if I love you as myself, I want you to be warm and fed and comfortable and educated and anything that I think is important. So if we could all just hold that intention, I think, you know, we would so rapidly become ready for fourth density. It would just be astonishing.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to make a comment here before I lose it, and that is that I think one can start in faith. In other words, since there's no evidence, this realm is so insulated from direct observation of the truth of what you said, that people who are coming from total distortion, total fear, total alienation. They're living in a universe that totally supports that, and that when they want to say, how do I change this? It's like by reading your channelings, by studying the stuff that I do, it gives people, where is this coming from? It's the beginning of the conscious, logical mind saying, maybe there's something here. And that is the step of faith. But then once somebody starts reaching, then there's things that happen in their lives that give real evidence that it works this way, where you don't have to just continue on faith. You have synchronicities, you see a miracle, you see a relationship change. So you don't have to stay in faith. Faith is just, this is my take, the first step in this, so that you start looking for this higher possibility, because it's available to everyone. But until they start looking for it, they just keep bouncing around in their own... somebody didn't like that.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
You keep bouncing around in your own contracted universe. And so you need something, say Jesus. And this is I'm not a traditional Christian, but I studied Jesus, and I said he was able to demonstrate a kind of love that rubbed off on other people, that they could feel this love, which ended up saying, this guy's for real, let's listen to him. And so he created an opportunity to go from faith into experience, because it has to go to experience. You have to see your world change. You have to see some kind of phenomena. You have to see somebody that hated you love you. And, you know, Carla, you didn't answer my question. We're never going to get to the real question I started on, because what you're doing is you're expressing the cosmology that you've learned through all of you've done, and probably through your channelings, but not saying how you proved it to yourself. Like there was,
well,
there
I
had
think
to be...
we all prove it to ourselves subjectively. See, that's, we can't prove it to anybody else. But once we decide that we're going to take that leap of faith, then it's as if our vibrations become congruent with the dance. And so the dance starts dancing with us, and street signs come at us, and that's exactly what we were talking about, or something happens on TV, or our totem animal shows up and says, okay, you're thinking the right thing. And we start getting this very rich stew of experience where one thing after another is synchronous to our path. That's why the path is so important, and that's why when the Confederation comes in, they always say, please use your discrimination when you listen to what we have to say, and if what we have to say doesn't work for you, toss it away. Move on to something that vibrates with you. But, yeah, you have to start with faith. But as soon as you do, I think you start calling to yourself all of these levels of synchronicity that are incredible. And everything that you said is true from that point on. But the thing that you miss there, if you say it that way, Wynn, is that you have to say, this happened for me. I can't tell you what's going to happen for you, and I can't prove what happened to me in such a way that you get to slide in on my coattail. Everybody's got his own path to follow. And, you know, everybody's got his own timing. So, yeah, I was trying to set up the structure so that people could see, okay, this is where I am, this is where I'd like to be, this is the leap that I need to take. And, you know, but as far as witnessing to how my path has opened up in my life, I can say it just keeps blossoming and blossoming and blossoming some more. Terry, what do you think about that? Does it keep blossoming to you?
Well, what I was thinking as you were talking is that concerning free will, and I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute, I'm thinking that there's one reason, one good reason to go and take a look at some negative stuff, and that is to purify it. And I believe that there's bleed through of future events when they're beginning to start to manifest and come into this realm, but they haven't happened yet. And I still believe in free will, that those events can be changed. So I would like to be able to be aware of those things, so that if I see those things start to come in and bleed through, that I can do prayers or put it on the grid healing, that we can get help to come in and investigate those events and see what can be changed about them, so that they can be averted. And that would be like the free will, not of a specific entities, but the free will of the consensus reality who don't wish these negative things to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that completely.
That would be like if somebody's sick and you're praying for them, that is that, you know, it's like those prayers can shift the potential outcomes of that person's disease. Right?
Well, the Christian Scientist would simply say that what you do is you know that you hold that person in mind and you know the truth. You hold that person in mind and know the truth for that person, that that's perfect. They're perfect. They're healed. They're well. And you give that person the opportunity of choosing the knowledge of the Christian Science practitioner. I have one example of that. It was one of the more dramatic things that happened to me during the Live One contact.
I got
to
tell you, we have one minute left.
Okay.
This
entity said to me that I'm going to kill you, basically. And I said, you can kill me, but you can't stop me from loving you. And it just vanished.
Right. Right. There you go. So we're at 7:51, and we got Terry to say a few sentences. We never covered our topic, so we will continue.
I mentioned it frequently.
Well, the idea of how you became convinced, you know, to take the responsibility of writing books, thinking that what you're doing is going to benefit others. I mean, I know that one of the tests that I did on the work that I was doing is watching how people reacted to it. And did it create some kind of, did it help people make better choices or go through any kind of transformation? And watching that, it was basically, you know, I looked at what Jesus said, and I thought this was a very good criteria: by your fruits ye shall be known. So if what you're doing is impacting other people in a really positive way, that's a good indication that what you're doing is positive. And that was one of my litmus tests that I applied for very carefully for quite some time, that made me, you know, gave me the courage and the confidence to put something out in a bigger way, because I saw the results people were having. So we better say goodbye, because Seth is, we're 7:53. We're supposed to be off at 7:50. Seth has another show at 7:55. So let me just say, if anyone wants to follow up on Carla's work, she has many of her channelings posted at llresearch.org. She has 5 books of her raw channelings. We have some of her work posted on messageaday.net. If you go to the free ebook, I put together a bunch of our Tuesday night readings of her material. Not live channelings, but we read some of her previous channelings, and it's an amazing cosmology in there. And on that note, do you have any, want to say, let's see, what time is it? We have 7:53. Carla, you got about 20 seconds.
I love you guys. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm so honored to have you and to have these monthly discussions. We'll be on again in about 4 weeks. And Terry, you want to say anything? Terry? Are you in the ozone? Hello, Terry. You know what? Seth, cut us off, okay?